We begin today chapter 4 of the letter to the Romans in two places in this first big section, which goes from 1 down to 11. Where Paul validifies his teaching by quoting scripture. We've had this first section where all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and been justified freely. Now what's the proof for that? Abraham. And that's why he begins now to talk about Abraham. Because Abraham was not justified on the basis of his works. Nobody is. Now, it's kind of important, I think, to understand that, well, here's a little bit of Hebrew, hang on. We know already that the word for justice is tzedek, right? Now, there's a form of the verb, hasdik. You hear tzedek? Hasdik, which means to make righteous. That's what justify means. Well, who can make righteous? Only God. For the Jews, this making of righteous, this declaring of righteousness, is the great judgment. When God declares, if you belong to his people, you are righteous. So there's a long list in the rabbis of those who have disqualified themselves from belonging to God's people, even though they're born of a Jewish mother and they belong to the Jews. But they're not justified. What Paul is teaching us, because from divine mystical enlightenment, is that that practice takes place now. When we believe, God counts us as righteous. Well, when God counts, it's not make-believe. It's God. God does not say you're righteous even though you're not. He makes you righteous. And that's his teaching, you see. So the great desire, all this you have to realize is I'm a Jewish theologian who has found Christ and been mystically enlightened to make a message for the whole world. But it comes out of a Jewish matrix, huh? And so he's saying, if Abraham was justified on the basis of his works, he has reason to boast. But this was not so in the sight of God. He cannot rely on his works to be declared, considered, welcomed as righteous. God makes righteous. How? Through faith. Well, what does that mean? It means accepting the gift of the passion and resurrection of Christ into your own life. And you can't do that without a movement of the Holy Spirit. You can't do that on your own. But what God will declare at the end of time, he already declares now. You are righteous. You have the right relationship to me by my act in your life, which brings to you the fruit of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now you're righteous. And so his argument here then, you see, is, but what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. Well, a worker's wage is not credited as though it were a gift, but it's something else. When one does not work and yet believes in the one who justifies the ungodly. Well, now it's important. I know this is pretty heavy stuff. But you see, we skate over this thin ice very rapidly most of our lives. and we're deeply deprived of a much more solid, profound relationship to God. Every one of us in this room has not the slightest claim on God. And we belong to a race that merits damnation. But what is the good news? Not only are we saved from that, made righteous by God, but being righteous means being with God forever. But that means you really believe this. You see, the incident that Paul uses, and he uses it all over the place, Galatians and here, is from Genesis chapter 15, verse 7. When God had promised Abraham, "I'll make all your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky." And Abraham believed God. Do you see what it is? "I believe you." It is as though you had a rich uncle, and he called you up one day and said, "I'm going to give you $60,000 for Christmas or something." You'd be pretty happy. But there's on two conditions. First, you believe your uncle that he's a righteous man and he'll come through on his promise, huh? And that he's going to do this. First, you have to believe your uncle. So first, we have to believe God that he's doing this. And then that it's done. This is exactly what Abraham had to do, right? "I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky." He had to believe that God was trustworthy. Do you? That's the first question. And that he will do what he said he will do. Do you believe that? That, see, the virtue of hope, which is so intimately tied with the virtue of faith. Virtue of hope, we learn in theology class, is knowing that we will have all that we need to achieve salvation. And that's why you see the deep purification, the final purification in a great saint, the dark night of the soul, you see, is to bring this person to an heroic act of hope. "I have nothing to rely on but you." Which is absolutely true right now, but we're not quite ready to face that. It takes the Lord a long life, most a long life, not everybody, to bring us to where we accept that and rejoice. Rejoice in that. Because God's promises are always without recall. And so you see how profound this teaching is. Therefore, again, I think it's worth, you know, sitting still sometime today and accepting the gift of salvation. "I thank you for this. I believe that in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have given me a firm invitation to eternal life. I believe you." That's, and he went home justified.